you're saying is below of low-hanging balls.
Sure.
You literally just said that.
You want the ball at the right height.
Right. So, but you said it specifically you don't want it too low, therefore...
Or too high.
Okay.
So then you can't reach it. See, it's difficult to get the ball too high.
I mean, it could happen.
Especially a blue ball.
Yeah. Yeah, we are talking to a blue ball right now.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Buddies in Space Provcast number 4.
Are we doing it?
Do it.
Are we in it?
Yep.
We're in it now.
We're in it now.
It's happening.
It's a go.
What's you talking? You said you last time, but maybe like a week or two ago, you were like, I got all these ideas that we want to use on the podcast. All these things I want to talk about.
It was like 2 months ago.
It wasn't too bad. It was before our show.
It was?
Yeah. Anyway, do you remember any of those things, or have we already talked about them outside of...
Well, that's the problem, podcast? Is we talk all the time, so...
I know, I hate that we talk.
I hate that... Yeah, it's why we can't hang out on days with shows.
God damn you.
Remember we, like, hung out and got dinner before the show that one time, and then we had a bad show, and we're like, we can't actually talk before the show.
We'll just drive to the show together in silence.
Silence. Wow, those guys really hate each other.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like my life's been really weird lately.
So your life has been weird.
My life's been weird lately.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're doing a lot of typical things, but, I mean, it seemed like you experience them for the first time, and it's weird because it's so different from what you've been doing.
Since I know you don't really aren't picking up on what I'm talking about, yes, I think it is completely typical to attend an anachronistic Bartitsu fighting workshop. I think that's completely normal.
Stuff like that. I was thinking, like, the bigger stuff, you know. Like,
oh, buying a house and having a baby? Yeah. Whatever. No one wants to hear about that. This isn't a baby-making podcast, although it could be.
So, how about that Bartitsu.
Which I think is the tits.
Bartitsu.
It's the tits.
Now, this is a fighting style that was recently popularized in these Sherlock Holmes films.
Correct. And it was actually because of Arthur Conan Doyle that anyone even knows about it, because it had faded away to obscurity and, like, it became...
And for good reason, I assume.
Well, the idea was sound. It was, how do you take a portly, well-to-do gentleman who walks around a three-piece suit and a cane and has zero muscle strength, how do you arm him and train him in such a way as to fight off?
So the cane is kind of an assumed thing. It's like everybody just walked around with a cane back then, so it's assumed that you're going to have a cane.
See, here's my problem with Bartitsu, is unless you have
were friggin' pimps is what I'm getting.
They're pimp daddies, and they had really nice canes. Yeah. So they made really great weapons.
Nice.
But nowadays, unless you have a really fine, long-handled umbrella...
Umbrella?
Yeah.
Why not a cane?
Because I don't walk... Who walks around with a cane?
Pimps!
Okay, well, other than being a pimp fight style, I think they have
badasses.
Guns.
Badasses.
No, badasses no longer...
Badass pimps.
You clearly did not hear the memorandum that went out in the late 90s from the Badass Society that they no longer use canes.
I mean, a solid, like, frickin' oak cane...
is a fantastic weapon, I
Yeah.
Learned. Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm thinking if you want to, you know, be safe when you're walking around at night, why not have a cane?
Well, hey, I think they're expensive. Like, I don't think the average person would be like,
how much is your life worth, Mike?
Well, my life is worth an inestimable amount.
There you go.
But you're...
So get a cane.
You get a cane.
Walk around. If you're going to be, like, walking around somewhere dangerous, have a freaking cane.
Well, I walk around Fairport, New York. The most dangerous thing here is when, like, there's a strong gust of wind and it knocks the power out.
Which so is then really Bartitsu crappy. Isn't really for you as a self-defense.
No, it's not for really anyone. That was the funny thing. I mean, the instructor was really good.
The cane itself is going to, you know, dissuade most people if that's what you got.
Or invite it, in which case you're walking around with something and you're literally asking for trouble with it. Like,
and perhaps you see somebody else with a cane walking towards you.
And you have that moment.
You have to
like,
fight.
But I don't think Bartitsu works. Welcome, I don't think two Victorian gentlemen can fight.
Welcome to Cane Club. If this is your first night, you have to fight.
You have to fight. What's the first rule of Cane Club? Exactly.
I forget.
I forgot. What? I was drunk. So we did Bartitsu. It's more than just canes.
So you used an umbrella instead of a cane.
No, we used sticks that mimicked canes, but,
They weren't curved handled sticks?
No, they were actual fighting sticks.
Fighting sticks.
Imagine a large baton.
Okay.
I have it upstairs. I can show it to you sometime.
So you did the baton come with the class?
No, we bought it separately. I mean, he provided it for us to use.
Well, this sounds like it's a scam. Some guy has like a bunch of sticks that he picked up at Home Depot.
Bartitsu is just a pyramid scam.
They're dowel rods, Mike. They're dowel rods.
No, they're not. they have ends and they have tape on them.
Yeah, because it's really hard to tape up a dowel
rod. I don't know how to do it. It's got a cross-hatching diagonal pattern.
How much did you pay for this dowel rod, Mike?
Like $20.
Oh my God. That's quite a markup.
It's got ends.
Man,
I don't have to explain myself to you. I know Bartitsu and you don't. After one day.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to come down to whoever's got the stick.
Yeah, ultimately it's whoever, he who holds the stick. But there's some other cool stuff. They showed like...
I should start teaching Bartitsu. Just so I can sell dowel rods to like yuppies who think it's cool to buy a $20 stick.
Well, if you're talking to yuppies, you probably get away with it.
Can I even use the word yuppie anymore? Or is that like, is that just...
Isn't that just everyone? Isn't everyone a yuppie at this point?
I know.
I mean, everyone in that age group is now a yuppie.
I mean, everyone that we talk to, yeah, sure. But of our people. What are you trying to say, Mike?
I don't even know anymore. You've taken this in a completely different direction than I understand.
So is yuppie a... Is that even a word I should be using anymore?
Young urban professional. I mean, I think you can't use it up here. We're not in an urban city.
In Fairport?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think you have to be in a major city for yuppie to apply.
Like Manhattan or...
Well, New York.
I said Manhattan.
Manhattan's not the city.
Yes, it is.
New York is the city.
Manhattan's the city.
There's a ton of yuppies in Brooklyn, so sorry.
Whatever.
I'm trying to save face for you, but you failed. Yeah, Manhattan Chicago.
When you live in New York State, sometimes it's helpful to say Manhattan. So people don't just say New York, and you have to be specific here. New York just doesn't just mean the city. It means, like, everything here.
Yeah, but I said New York City.
Well, okay, but I'd already said Manhattan.
So you're right? Anyway, yeah, New York City,
you know,
Chicago,
before I moved
LA.
Here, like, New York was just the city. I think that's, like, the view of most other people in the world, not to mention the country.
You know what? You're right. For the undoubtedly thousands of our listeners who are not... local and know our show very well. Thank you for clarifying.
I mean, I didn't realize just how freaking ridiculously long New York was until I drove through it the first time.
Did you start like up
in Ohio? In Ohio, yeah, going all the way through.
You did the full
arc,
the Indiana Jones style.
Yeah, I think so.
Buffalo, Finger Lakes.
We were driving to like Boston.
Oh, so you cut across the whole like? Okay,
yeah.
Got it. It's really bad when you're like. Niagara all the way down to New York City.
Yeah.
That's like the longest length of it.
I don't know. It's long. What's up in the corner? In that top corner?
I don't know. My uncle lived up there, but...
You're not going to drive that far. That's crazy.
I have. It's a long drive. It's a long drive.
Well, it's got to be, what, like 500-600 miles?
Sure.
Sure.
Yes, we've just fact-checked that. It is possibly that length.
But yeah, New York is a stupidly long state.
Well, what about, like, California? That's an even more
stupid. Well, that's different. I mean, you know California's huge.
But it's
everybody knows California is big.
Yeah, but it can be big like Texas is big, but it's kind of big in multiple directions.
Well, okay, yeah. Texas is freaking stupid big, too. But, like, those are the two states, and like, I guess Alaska. Those are like, the three states everybody knows. Oh, those are just big.
they're just big.
People don't think the rest of the... I'm telling you, as somebody who used to live outside of New York, people don't think of New York as being that big. But
and they think the entire state is New York City.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I understand.
That's why I was getting that.
I took
a little while to get to that.
There's some meandering stream of consciousness.
Yeah, like driving through New York. Took a while to get there.
Yes. Much like driving through New York would take a while to get there.
Yes.
See, I just tied it up for you with a bow.
The city?
The city. Going to the city.
See, because you weren't specific there.
Well, But it, as I've tried to say multiple times, I mean any major city. Chicago, L.A., New York City. Any of those. Just because you're hard of hearing doesn't mean that I was wrong.
No.
I know.
I'm going to let this one go.
You should.
What the hell were we talking about?
Yuppies.
So yuppies can only exist inside of a major city.
It's in the name. Young urban professional. Not young, you know, rural. It's not yuppies.
We are not rural here. We are suburban.
I'll give you suburban, but I work in downtown Rochester. And that's, I mean, that's, you blink and you miss the urban part.
Yeah.
It has a gorge in the middle. That completely undercuts the urbanness.
A gorge?
Yeah. It's not a gorge. It's like city. Wait, where'd this waterfall come from? What the fuck is this doing here?
Yes. Our lovely bridge.
The Peace Bridge. It commemorates our sister city of Durand, France.
Are you making this up right now?
No, I was just there the other day. I was playing tour guide.
In Durand, France.
No, it's at the bridge. Over, you know, going over the gorge.
And it seriously is a bridge to commemorate another bridge.
Yeah, there's a plaque.
Our sister.
No, we have a sister city in France. It's like Durand, France. And the bridge, it says on the plaque on the bridge. And the purpose of the bridge is to commemorate this sisterhood of cities between Rochester and
Durand.
Yeah,
how do you get a sister city?
I don't
understand
know.
That.
I feel like there's like a thing. Is there
I mean, that's like,
stepsister
at the best. I mean, there's no relation there that I know
yeah,
of.
Yeah, and your brother's really happy that you're only step-siblings with the hot French chick. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
So we can't, like, date anybody from our sister city because that would just be weird.
it's incest. I don't know how to... Is that, like, a program? Is it, like, was Rochester pen pals with the city?
Know.
And they're like, we should be sisters.
We should be, like, is that, like, being, like...
Blood brothers?
Blood brothers?
Yeah, sister cities, blood brothers. It's all the same.
So you, like, cut out a chunk of one city and put it in the other one?
That's where
the
High Falls Gorge comes from. Holy shit, that makes so much sense. That explains
why...
So it's
like a chunk of Rochester that got shipped off to France.
And then they gave us a bridge. Which made sense because we gave them...
I think we got a better deal because... the bridge is at least kind of interesting to look at,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, because the giant missing mass of land created a fairly cool-looking gorge and waterfall. So, yeah, we totally made out. They just have a random mountain in the middle of their town. What
it's
is this?
It's a big one. It's more of a hill.
Why is this hillock here? Where did this hillock come from? Send it back to Rochester, our sister city.
Ah, we can't put it back. There's a bridge there now.
Ah, son of a bitch. Merde. Ah, we just lost the French listening.
Yeah.
Public. That's okay.
Sorry.
But seriously.
Lo siento.
Mucho. But seriously, you're in Rochester and you're like, oh, look, oh, there's the Kodak building. There's just some major. Wait, no, we're now in like this weird Grand Canyon-esque wilderness out of nowhere. The ground just ends. It's a little weird, is what I'm saying.
What?
So,
was there something that used to be there? I'm not really good on my Rochester history. Maybe we should just Wikipedia this all sometime.
Well, I mean, that area was a major source of hydroelectric power. You know that building that's right on the falls?
Yeah, kind
of. It's closed off now. I don't know why. I love going out there. It's like my favorite spot when I'm having a stressful day because I just like will walk out there and just look out at the vista.
You look into the abyss.
I look in and the abyss looks back.
The abyss looks back into you, yeah.
But in the center of this, it's really cool actually. So if anyone is listening and has not actually been here, I suggest you break into this place, but... Don't do it legally.
Don't. We're not really suggesting.
We're not really.
We are.
We are. You should definitely
do
this.
But don't do it. Do it.
It's illegal. But you should do it. There's this awesome building right on the bluffs, like next to the waterfall. And they hollowed out the cliff that it's built on. And they had like a shaft running down it. And then they had a giant water wheel. So they were generating hydroelectric power. So when you're on top of this building, it's just this big open like kind of balcony thing. There's a massive hole in the middle of it with a rail around it. And you can just look down and you can see it looks like something out of Goonies. Like it's just like a cave system in it. And you can kind of see where the water is. It's really cool. And then they, well, I don't know.
This sounds like an awesome map for like Team Fortress or something.
I mean, I'm just saying One-Eyed Willy might be at the bottom. That's all. You know, whatever.
Is this the one they keep talking about maybe like filling up with water or something or doing other stuff to it?
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
I don't know.
That'd be kind of
cool.
The
one I'm talking about.
Then I could, like, play Last of Us and dive down into it.
Right yeah, like a giant swimming pool for
yeah
people who don't plan to come back up, I guess.
A suicide pool?
Yeah. Yeah. A suicide
pool. Does your life suck? Have you had it with living? Well, we've got something for you.
Throw in a little undertow? Hey.
Do you want to commit suicide, but be able to blame it on something else?
Lifeguard not on duty.
Undertow guaranteed. If you wash ashore the farthest up the river, you win a prize. Well, your family does, because you're dead. Rochester.
Oh, my God. It's like one of those rubber duck races, except they fish course porpoises out instead. Nah. Too much?
No. I feel like it's a reality TV show waiting to happen.
You probably have to, like, print a number on, like, paint a number on your
stomach. You gotta get that shit tattooed on there. You just take a knife.
If you're that cool with, you know, taking a knife to your abdomen.
Lightly.
Do you really need the... To do the whole drowning
the
part,
undertow,
too? You pretty much got it covered.
Yeah, but you could combine and be like, I'm going to end it all. I'm cutting my stomach up, but now I'm going to fall in. I don't know. I feel like the rules of this reality TV show we've established are we need to flesh them out more. Or cut into the flesh more. So anyway, so my life's been really weird. Because the same weekend I did Bartitsu, I also did Bo Staff, which was awesome. I finally got to live my dream.
Did you get to buy another stick in that class?
Yes.
Right? Oh, good. And how many sticks do you have now?
I have 2 sticks. That's a big stick. That is a straight up dowel.
And how much was the big stick, Mike?
was it the same price?
Was it $20?
It might have been $25.
$25?
It's like
a bigger stick,
dowel.
I would expect it to be at least $25.
Yeah.
Also taped up at the ends?
No. No? But it does have the stoppers at the ends.
Has stoppers.
Yeah, like the fighting stick does.
Well, that's the extra $5.
I'm going to smack
you. $2.50 at each end.
I'm going to beat you with this stick and be like, oh, this is a really well-made stick. Clearly, I shouldn't have been mocking it so much. But I finally got to live my dream of being Donatello from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it was fantastic.
Donatello. Did you get to beat up Shredder?
Sure. If Shredder was an imaginary space in front of me that I was counting to 8 and doing 8 different
slices. I think that's exactly what Shredder is.
Mm-hmm. I think Shredder is a state of mind, Mike. State of mind. And then when they were filming Spider-Man, I'm just searching for weird things.
Did you get in on that? You didn't, did you?
Hell no. But...
because some of us have to work during the day.
Well, I worked nearby where they were filming. So, they were filming Spider-Man in the middle of downtown Rochester, and I assume they're going to make it look like New York. But it was
or
very...
Manhattan.
Oh my God. Okay, that time I'll give it to you. Fine. New York City. City.
Because it's already New York, Mike.
It's already New York. I hate you so much. They're going to have to green screen the giant gorge and river out of the middle of the town. I don't know how that's going to work.
That would be a great set piece.
It would.
Especially if it was like set up for drowning. That could be the end of the movie. Drowns the goblin in the
no, that's how they reboot Spider-Man. He kills himself. You're like, new franchise again. But I was driving away from work and I look over and there's 3, it's Rochester, New York, there's 3 NYPD cop cars. Four of them, nose to, you know, front to back, and they're like, they just suddenly take off, like, at top speed.
Nice.
And then 3 New York City cabs. So I'm like, where the fuck am I right now? Like, to my left is New York City, to my right is Hobunk, Rochester, New York.
Have you seen any of the new Spider-Mans?
Yeah, I saw...
Wait, was it... I didn't even know the second one's come out yet.
No, they were just filming a couple months ago.
Oh, I don't know.
Spider-Man's all post-effects now. It takes forever for him to finish.
Yeah.
No, we saw the first one. I didn't get what all the hype was about. He didn't even take any... He wasn't even like a reporter. He wasn't even taking pictures. I mean, he did at the end.
You mean
Peter Parker. Yeah. He was barely Peter Parker.
Was he at least a brilliant scientist kid?
Yeah, but it's really about his parents, his dad. They did go back to the
web. Yeah, because the dad's like... His parents have been a huge part of his...
Life
for as long as I can remember in the comics.
It's more the absence therein. But they did go back to the web bracelet things.
Yeah.
Like he actually...
That was a bit of a misstep, I think, for... For Sam.
Well, yeah, Spider-Man 3.
Is it Raimi or Riami? How do you pronounce his name?
I think it's Raimi. Sam Raimi. Yeah.
Raimi. And I really like the first two of those.
I did too.
I did not see the third one.
It's
everybody. I don't know anybody that liked it. And so it seemed like a good idea for me to just not go to see it. Because I really liked the first two, and I didn't want to lose that.
You
didn't
want
to lose the, oh, these were such good movies. Tobey Maguire's cool.
He's nifty keen.
He is.
Yeah, Spider-Man 3 is to Spider-Man what, like, The Godfather 3 was to The Godfather.
I didn't see that either. I'm doing good.
You're
doing good.
So you're just skipping the third of everything.
Yeah.
But you saw The Exorcist 3.
Yes, but I didn't see all of the second one. So, so far, these are all wins for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I only saw the first season of Heroes.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That second season, holy flaming cock.
I didn't even watch a single episode of that.
Oh, my God. Sorry, now I'm just reliving that second season of Heroes. I'm trying to remember when we were
at Comic-Con. You and your wife are not good at pulling the plug or, launching out of the canopy.
No. My wife is not good.
Ejecting that seat.
My wife is not good at that.
You're getting dragged along with
us. I get dragged along in that fucking suicide underdress. That is the second season of Heroes. That is all of Once Upon a Time. I don't care what anyone says about that show. I think it's so stupid.
It's not bad. I don't think it's that bad. I kind of like it. It's cheesy, but it's fun. And of course, you just finished watching all of Twin Peaks. Fucking Peaks.
Now, see how I say my life's been weird lately?
And you knew going in that the end of it was not going to be good.
Yeah, I just needed to get there. I needed to get to the ending, so I needed to check it off. Looking back...
No, but you don't. You don't. You can just let go.
Okay, this is what I am to blame for. I wanted to have the full Twin Peaks experience. Because Twin Peaks has informed video games that I've played and movies that I've watched. Like, it's informed so much about my formative years, and I had never actually seen...
Did you play Alan Wake?
Yeah. Love.
I didn't play any of those.
Like... Oh my God, it's so good. And it is... It's basically just... Someone said, let's make Twin Peaks, but better. And they did.
They're like, screw you, David Lynch.
Hey, David Lynch, this is how you make a consistent plot line.
Yeah. We're going to make a story that sort of makes some sense. And actually have a resolution, I assume.
Yep. But they did everything. Like, now that I know what the entire plot line of Twin Peaks is, like, the locations are in it, the characters are in it, but rearranged, like... The whole thing with the way Twin Peaks ends, they did that, but carried it through the next level. Like, yeah.
So they kind of were flipping off David Lynch in that.
I feel like they were. It was an homage.
Homage. But at the same time saying, this is what David Lynch should have done.
Suck it. Lynch. Oh, Lynch with his weird
yelling. No, he's polarizing. I haven't seen...
Not for me. I generally hate him.
Really?
Yep.
Mulholland... Drive.
Fuck that. No. Fuck that shit.
No. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So Cloud Atlas.
Oh boy. Well, no, we're jumping from David Lynch to Cloud.
No. Atlas. I'm going to do something here with these.
Wow. Are you sure?
Yes.
You want to try this? I mean, I know David Lynch stuff, and I know Cloud Atlas, and these are both like behemoth concepts.
Right.
And I don't want you to hurt yourself in whatever you're about to attempt.
I think you're giving me too
much credit.
Kids,
do not try this at home. Do not try making...
any connection.
Any sort of connections or comparisons between David Lynch movies and Cloud Atlas.
Okay.
You're going to hurt yourself.
With that caveat.
I got my cell phone out so I can call 911 when Mike pulls some part of his body, which he is certainly
my
going
brain.
To do.
I'm
going
to break my brain.
You're going to break something with this. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You want to warm up? You need to limber?
Are you done talking yet?
I just want to make sure that you're not
going to... I'm going to do this no matter how dissuading you are. I'm going to draw my...
Am I in a good position to be spotting you right now? Is
I
this
guess.
Okay? All right.
You ever watch someone squat press
like
spot?
Like weights?
You ever watch someone spot someone who's squat pressing?
No. What do you... How do you do that?
You squat with them.
Seriously?
Yeah. So basically, your crotch is in their ass. It's the... funniest, most homoerotic thing you've ever seen.
So you're not facing them?
No, you're facing their back.
Facing their back.
You basically snuggle with them, but you're standing.
You're spooning.
You're squat spooning.
You're squat spooning.
And then you push up, so you get your hands like, you can get them under your armpits or on the waist. The waist is really funny. So they're like grunting, right? Like red faced, like, oh,
yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, push, 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 push. And then you shove up on their waist.
So you're like trying to, you're helping... hold their diaphragm in so they don't get a hernia.
Well, no, I mean, my hands are more on the like on the sides, so that you're helping pull them up. Because when you're doing a squat, you know, it's a lot of your legs and your back.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Cloud Atlas and David Lynch.
Should I be spooning you right now?
No!
I don't understand.
If you let me just get this done, we can move on.
Okay. I'm not spooning, Mike. I just want everybody to know I'm not spooning you right now.
That tickles when you're talking to my ear.
I'm not spooning you.
So, as you know,
yes,
it took three of us to get
do it.
Cloud Atlas.
You can do this.
I'm holding this twist tie and I'm going to shove it in your nose, which is right in my ear, by the way.
Sorry, I had onions today.
I wasn't gonna say anything. So Cloud Atlas took two to three of us to figure out, right? But we
to figure out some of it.
To the general plot, we got figured
because
out.
There are like the crazy connections. Like, well, this happened in the same house, and this scene is
like 50, 100
years later.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about just the general plot. We figured out how each storyline led to the next one.
More or less, yes. We found connections.
We found the main connection
like
between
plot them. Connections, right. not just coincident or character-y sort of.
Everyone had the same birthmark.
Yeah. Only some of them did.
I was just saying that
would
be incorrect generalization. But I liked Cloud Atlas because as little sense as it seemed to make, it eventually came together like a really, really long, full of itself, long form improv. Then I watched something like Mulholland Drive.
Okay, go back to Cloud Atlas for a second.
You're prolonging this. I was going
to
bring in
David. Okay, I'll come back to Cloud Atlas in a moment.
No, go ahead.
What? No, you go ahead. I didn't like it, like, for the first half.
Right.
I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I get it. They're, like, souls that keep popping up in different timelines. But, like, the story would, like, get to, a like, some climactic moment, and then, like, nothing would happen. You're like, oh, my God, they got to the thing, and they're going to turn on, and they're like, bleh, bleh, bleh. Oh, okay, and we're going to wait for a while now.
Oh, my God, the scene where Halle Berry gets knocked into the water. Oh, my, oh, she's fine.
Yeah.
She's just dripping. Yeah.
But... And, you know, looking back, it was a good, I'll say good.
It's not great.
It's not great. It's flawed. It's a flawed film.
It's ambitious.
It's ambitious. it's smart, but a little too smart.
A little too smart. It's like how you talk about like a girl, like, she's got a great personality.
Yeah.
Butterface.
The butterface.
Or the brown bag face.
Butter Running Time. Holy crap. Yeah. Almost 3 hours.
What a great movie. Butter Running Time. Yeah, it was a long movie. So you have that. So if you pay fairly close attention to the plot, you can piece it together.
Yes.
If you pay fairly close attention to Lost Highway or Mulholland Drive, you can't piece it together because David Lynch is a fucking sociopath. So that's all I wanted to say.
You can look at the Wikipedia pages and, like, read the... Have you done this for, like, Mulholland Drive? And, I mean... Because I've seen it, like, a couple of times. And when you, like, go back and read what it's all supposed to mean, you're like, what?
Yeah, because the symbolism...
How was I supposed to get that out of this movie?
That's my point. Cloud Atlas is really, like... It really seems opaque for a lot of the movie, but it does come together. David Lynch films do not come together. That's, like, Twin Peaks... Kind of had a coherent aspect to it for a while.
It has, but like...
But then it just spun off into madness.
It's like, it's crazy land. I mean, it has a plot. It has, you know, these are events and this is a series of things that happened. But when you, like, look at them on paper or something, it's like, this is... What 6-year-old came up with this?
David Lynch's daughter.
I mean, I like Axe Cop. Axe Cop is freaking awesome.
Axe Cop is a now a cartoon.
But if you tried to get that sort of sensibility into a, what would you call it? A dramatic thriller series?
Serial comedy. A supernatural serial comedy.
Comedy? There are comedic parts in it.
An offbeat supernatural drama.
Mystery.
It's like trying to describe Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Oh.
I mean, Brotherhood of the Wolf is just your basic foreign period romance martial arts monster mystery movie.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that old chestnut.
Yeah. I liked Brotherhood of the
Wolf. I did too, but trying to...
The sword was a little silly at the end.
The bone sword?
Yeah. Like straight out of frickin' Soul Calibur.
Yeah, I was like, but where's the chick Ivy with the big jiggly chest? What is this dude without a shirt on? I don't want to see this. Yeah, that movie really spun into crazy land, but I forgave it. Because it made sense, David Lynch.
It made some silly sense.
It made some silly sense.
You're like, oh, okay, I get it.
I also like how halfway through the movie they're like, and that, up to this point, was what the actual history was with us redoing it. Now, here's what we think really happened afterwards. And then it literally goes, and then it becomes like the crazy warrior painted face, like revenge, like...
Then it becomes awesome.
Yeah. It does have the greatest ever use of Monica Bellucci's breasts, though.
Wow. Why don't I remember that?
I don't know. Why don't you remember
that? It's been a long time since I've seen that.
Oh.
I didn't know who she was at the time either.
I'm sorry for you.
Was she one of the...
She was the courtesan chick who ended up working for the Vatican.
I need to watch this again.
Yeah. It literally pans along her body, right? And like, I'm Italian. Monica Bellucci is like a national treasure. No, I'm not kidding. I'm pretty sure, like we said, like you are a national treasure. Now go make me some food. Well, it's Italy. We can't shake certain stereotypes. I cook a lot. So the camera pans along her body, and then it like gets to her breasts, and then they like morph into a snowy. Like wilderness, and then you're out in the woods.
Yeah, I think I remember that now. Yeah.
And I was like, that was amazing and artistic. Mm. Or something. I was in college. I probably didn't say that.
No.
I was like, boobs.
You're like, where'd the boobs go?
Bring the boobs back.
Oh, it's not in boobs
Making
anymore.
The hills turn back into boobs. No, why? I don't know why I talk like this in college. I was fresh off of the boat.
You hadn't, You obviously had not had your theatrical training at that point.
Yes. I used to talk like this. And now I don't.
But now, thanks to theater, I speak like a normal human being.
Hooked on theater worked for me.
Yeah.
Were you going to go back to Cloud Atlas, or were you...
Cloud Atlas? No, I think I got my thing.
Okay.
It's long. Did I mention how long it is?
3 hours?
Crazy long.
Yeah, it was really long. I kept watching the, you know, my Blu-ray player has that.
Yeah.
I kept watching the time code like, oh my God. We never got a final picture of you, by the way.
No.
So, for those listening, we decided to, like, document Smike's gradual climbing from...
Yeah,
like,
you needed to direct me better in that. I was not happy with how those pictures came
out. Yeah, actually, I wasn't either. So, we won't ever show them, but we had this... somewhat funny at the time idea. And again, I think we're...
The idea is better than the
idea is worth... I think this should be a game that people should play while doing this. We periodically, every hour, pause the movie, and then Smike would... We try to find a face that was gradually less and less confused that a character was making, and we had Smike replicate it. The idea being that by the end of the movie, he wouldn't be confused anymore.
And you would take a picture of my face with the movie in the background, right. Of the other actor's face.
But we never did a final one. You had, like, elucidation...
I know. I guess it would have been Tom Hanks at the end. What?
Oh. Which one? Oh, when he was old?
The old Tom Hanks, yeah.
But he just looked befuddled the whole time. Actually, that might have been fine.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
It worked. What do you think of his accent, that whole language thing?
It was a little bit of a... I had a little bit of trouble following all of it. I did.
I just didn't think he pulled it off very well.
I thought he did okay with it. I mean, it didn't seem that unnatural to me.
Okay.
But it was difficult for me to
follow.
Yeah, to follow.
It kind of talked in some ways like the language that Stephen King used in the Gunslinger books, the Dark Tower books. So I kind of recognize some of the wording. But okay, so here, so if no one's seen this movie, then this is gonna
this happens in the very beginning, though. This the first scene is
No. I don't care about spoilers. I mean, you can't spoil a 3-hour movie. It's unspoilable. So Smike, who was your favorite character? Was it crazy, non-talking, face-painted, serial rapist and cannibal Hugh Grant? Or was it Hugo Weaving as a woman doing Mrs. Ratchet?
Oh, Hugo Weaving as a woman. So much awesome in that.
The biggest woman ever.
Hugo Weaving as like as Nurse Ratched.
He was Nurse Ratched.
He was Nurse Ratched.
Straight up Nurse Ratched.
And I mean, they didn't even really try to make him look feminine.
Hello,
at all.
Nurse Cratchit.
He like changed his voice a little, a tiny bit.
Yeah,
but it was. Hugo Weaving was pretty good in that whole thing.
Yeah. I enjoyed him.
As the, what was it? Old Georgie.
Oh, the weird, like the bayou, hat. The top hatted, like bayou devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird, but they never.
I still don't know what the fuck that was all about.
Yeah, no, he randomly was like, I'm going to haunt Tom Hanks for no reason. In the future. Not the future, I mean the far future, because there were multiple futures in that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give it a watch. I mean, I would recommend Cloud Atlas. I mean, for one thing, it's just, if you go into it, I would like to watch a bunch of actors have fun with a bunch of different roles. I mean, and, each one of them having multiple parts.
And switch ethnicities. And,
yeah.
You know, they went pretty far.
They caught a lot of flack for that. I remember at the time that came out. Like, they, because there's some scenes when they do. And this is something that's referred to as yellow face.
Did they make that for this movie, that term, or is it actually?
No, that's an actual term. That's been done a lot. I mean, that's, you know, you got like Peter Sellers has done that a few times.
Oh, Breakfast at Tiffany's, right?
Yeah. Oh God,
that's a famous one.
Yeah, that's one of the worst ones with.
Oh Jesus!
Oh my God, Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
Yeah. But yeah, the term for that is yellow face.
Okay. I'll give him that.
It's not a great term, but that's,
But
the premise warrants it.
That's the thing.
Yeah, it does. Because there's, and this is, again, this isn't giving anything away because it is unspoilable, but in a certain point in the future, everybody just kind of looks a little Asian.
Yeah. It's just the way the melting pot happened. And yes. Because the same actors are in most of the storylines,
yeah,
they had to make them look Asian.
Yes.
So I guess.
So they yellow faced some of the actors. But
really
it was not racist. I mean, it was not.
No, it was literally legitimately like, we have genetically altered these people to look this way, was the idea.
Yes.
Possibly what they did.
So, yeah. And I think that the flack that they caught was unwarranted for that.
I just feel like, and there are plenty of instances where something is clearly racist, and it's like, yeah, you should get flack. But I just get annoyed. I feel like we're at that point nowadays, just as a culture, where people just want to be offended.
But like we said, though, there were legitimate cases where, like, man, that should not have been done in the movie.
No,
and like the Peter Sellers, the Mickey Rooney,
Remo
Williams, where they had the
we talked about that,
the actor playing and the old Asian martial arts master who was a
sexist martial artist.
Yes, well, on top of the
women,
the yellow face stuff,
in the kitchen making babies.
Yes,
it's a terrible one.
That was what Kate Mulgrew was in that.
Yeah, she was.
She was the woman. I think
she
was
the
referring
woman.
To.
Yes, she was the aforementioned woman. No, I agree with you. I'm just saying we're in such a sensitive time that when someone like there, I feel there's a legitimate reason to do it in that movie. And I don't think I find it hard. Someone would look at that and be like, wow, I find this to be an assault on my heritage and I'm going to be offended by it.
Yeah. I think most of the criticism came before the movie was actually released.
Oh.
And people got wind of it and was like, oh, you can't do that.
That's the same kind of person that writes a review of a movie before it comes out, or a review of it. I love when I see a review of a video game before it comes out. That always cracks me up.
Well, you know, some of the reviewers get like advanced copies.
No. These are just regular people.
Oh, the people like go online. And,
yeah.
Like
if you're ever on like, I don't know, EB Games. Like I was shopping for my brother once for something and for some reason they were the only place that had it. And I saw a game that wasn't even out yet. And I'm like, how does this have 5 stars already? Like this isn't coming out for 6 months. And there's no demo. And I looked and some like 6-year-old's like, this is going to be the greatest game ever. I played all the other ones. This is going to be awesome. 5 stars.
Maybe you get that like on IMDb too.
Yeah.
And you get, like, people rating movies before they've been released. That's why when, like, so many of the big movies come out, like, they'll start with, like, really high ratings on IMDb.
And then they gradually, as people realize.
Yeah.
But I feel like World's End
that's
still.
That's what happened with the last Batman movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, everybody thought, oh, my God, this is going to be the best movie ever.
Did you see the last one?
And when the first reviewer said, nah, maybe not so. he got so much backlash. I remember this. I don't remember who it was.
Oh, he got crushed?
Yeah. And this was, you know, it was somebody who'd seen an advanced screening.
Right.
And was like, and a lot of the other reviewers were pretty positive about it. And like the first guy was like, this movie isn't all that great necessarily. And yeah, they got killed, I think.
Well, because no one is more rabid than fanboys.
Yeah, I think they just like stalked him and
killed his cat, nailed him to his door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sent his children death threats.
Beat him with sticks. $20 sticks.
Well, lucky it wasn't $25
sticks. Yeah, I know.
Those things hurt. Dick.
No tape on those sticks, though.
No.
No tape at all.
No, you need to be able to slide them, because we learned quarter staff and half staff. And I finally know that those are not actual stick lengths. Bet you thought they were.
I would thought, yeah.
No.
Is it the width?
No.
It's not the length or the girth, then. What is
it's it? Neither, well, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, because you mocked me for buying a dowel.
So what? A quarter staff is not the actual staff?
Nope. Both quarter and half staff are using the same staff.
You've blown my mind now.
Good. See? $25 and $20 were worth it. It's where you place your hands.
Okay.
So if your two hands...
And Mike is actually demonstrating with his hands,
yes.
Which nobody can see except me.
But I'm explaining at the same time.
Okay.
See how that goes. Italian. I would do this to a blind person. It wouldn't matter. Yeah, so if you're holding the stick in such a way that between your hands is like a quarter of the way up the stick, that's a quarter staff. So that's like a pole arm. So you have
The bulk of the stick is
ahead of you, so... Obviously,
where I would want to be. I mean, I would want to have the bulk of the stick ahead of me.
Yes.
I think.
Now, it's spotting while you squat?
Yeah.
don't ever get squat spot by a stick with the bulk of the stick behind you. We're giving people valuable, nonsensical information here. And then half staff is when the space between your hands is...
the middle of the staff?
Bam.
All right.
And it's two very different fighting styles.
It seems like the one would be more defensive and the other would be more offensive.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
No, he taught us how to switch between them.
Well, certainly got range differences. I mean...
Yeah, but with the range comes a distinct lack of strength because your pivot is so off. Like your fulcrum point.
Uh-huh.
But they have like the idea. So it's like basically you're holding a giant broadsword. Same thing, just without a blade on it.
Except almost useless.
Well, if you get a good swing on that...
Yeah, but if the other guy's got a broadsword, then...
It's an expensive dowel, apparently, so... I think I prefer the half staff. It's more impressive, so we were doing this eight...
Do you get to spin it?
No, none of that. No? Because it...
What?
Someone just comes up to you, he's like, okay, someone do what you want to do, and then he just hit it. And he's like, yeah, see, that's why you don't do that, because you have no control over when you're doing that.
But it looks so cool!
Yeah, exactly. But just like how real fights usually involve biting and tearing and kneeing in the groin, like, yeah, bow staff fight. Oh, it's not bow staff. It's quarter staff and half staff fights don't have lots of...
So what's bow staff, then?
That's a different stick.
That is actually a different stick.
Yeah, I think it's quarter staff and half staff. Like, this is from the British, I think the Navy, or their army. It's a really big staff. Like
Bow staff?
No, the staff that is used for quarter staff and half staff.
Okay.
It is a traditional staff, and it's massive. Like, I have tiny little girl hands, so I was afraid I was going to be able to hold it. Like, I was like, I'm not going to be able to hold my hands.
Is it like a fence post?
It's a giant dowel. I have it upstairs. I'll show you.
All right.
It's like a big-ass closet dowel width. But then a bow staff, and then there's another staff that's even smaller. Joe? I think it's Joe staff.
Joe staff.
Bow staff and Joe staff. which is really small. But
hello there, Bode Staff. Oh, hello, Joe Staff. How are you today? I'm fine, Bo.
Would you like to do a little shillelagh? He told us about shillelagh, which I always thought was just a funny word.
I thought that was a walking stick.
No, it's walking stick. It's Irish walking stick fighting.
Yeah?
It's
so that's like Bartitsu. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but this is Irish people, not British gentlemen. These are guys
Are you going to get racist again, Mike?
No, these are people who, like... know what they're doing with it, not like some aristocrat walking down the street whose like friend is attacking him because he slept with his wife, which was a legitimate example of why you would learn Bartitsu. No, this is two guys who just fucking beat the shit out of each other with sticks. That's what Shillelagh is, and Shillelagh is terrifying. If anyone ever even makes even a passive knowing joke about you, you want a Shillelagh with them, you just run. And if they're holding a stick...
Shillelagh sounds so
funny,
cool.
I know.
Yeah. It's a Shillelagh.
I'm just going to go get a little Shillelagh in the morning. No. No.
So
if David Lynch comes at you with a stick and asks if you want to do Shillelagh Mulholland Drive style, you fucking run. Do you know the Mulholland Drive is actually going to be a spinoff of Twin Peaks?
What?
Yeah, but
you're making
that
up now.
I'm not making that up.
Honestly, it's hard to like... For anything related to David Lynch, no matter how stupid it sounds, for you to just assume you're making that up.
No.
It's probably true.
So if you've seen Twin Peaks, you know Sherilyn Fenn, Audrey Horne, gorgeous. You know, she was in Playboy in like 1996 or something.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but there were like two or three hot girls in it.
She was the sex pot.
Yeah, okay. The cherry stem.
The cherry stem, yeah, who you think was the first...
That's the first time I had ever seen
that. The first time you had seen someone in a movie tie a cherry stem with her tongue.
A cliche or a meme or whatever.
I really thought it was funny that she's like trying to sneak her way into working into a house of prostitution. Mm. And they're like, what's your resume? She does that and they're like, you're hired. And you're like, but you wouldn't do that with a penis, so...
Come on.
Anyway.
It was funny.
It was funny. Yeah, so apparently David Lynch had an idea for Audrey Horne to get her own show. And she'd be, like, trying to make it in Hollywood, and she'd be driving along Mulholland Drive. Mm-hmm. And he was pitching this whole thing to her, and then it ended up actually becoming Mulholland Drive, and it was a whole other thing.
So she was like, you're crazy.
No, she was excited she was going to get her own show, and then it just never happened. But, I mean, this is the guy who cast a scene designer as Killer Bob because he thought it was, like, interesting, funny.
Well, because he got, like, into shot, right?
Well, he got into the shot, and
he
also...
He accidentally got into the shot.
Well, it was two things, so...
We're spoiling Twin Peaks, by the way.
I mean, not
a little
really.
Tiny bit. Like, no, you can't spoil.
You can't. It's
spoil
unspoilable.
Twin Peaks.
You can't spoil can't. Twin Peaks. I mean, you can spoil the Usual Suspects.
Just
you can't
like
spoil Twin Peaks and Cloud Atlas are unspoilable. But no, the two things that happened was yes, he got into a shot, but before that, David Lynch had filmed a scene where he was at the foot of the bed. There's like that first scene in the first episode of Twin Peaks where you see Bob and he's like you know, behind bars, basically.
And I sort of remember that.
The reason that happened, it was actually a joke. David Lynch filmed that joking around with the guy who was a set designer because he heard a story when they first started filming about the guy locking himself in a set by moving a dresser in front of the door and then getting stuck in there until someone let him out. And he was like, that's funny. Let's film this scene. And then they were like, whoa, this makes sense in this scene. And then the scene that they filmed.
But it wasn't,
he
just like filmed it for fun.
Yeah.
For like just.
And then they had no idea what to do with it. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And then like, there's a scene where the mom, Laura Palmer's mother's looking at something and then the script didn't say what she saw.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, oh, what's his face's reflections in the mirror, the shot. We can't use it. And then David Lynch is like, get that scene. And then it's like, she looks down, the guy's looking up and then you see the reflection and it's like.
Nice.
So Twin Peaks was basically David Lynch winging it. And it worked for a little while, and
yeah.
Then it stopped working.
That's great to start with.
Yeah.
I mean, winging it, you know...
You can wing up to a point, but you keep winging it, and then you get the second season of Twin Peaks. Or the second season of Heroes.
No, that was Writer's Strike.
Yeah,
right? That's right when that hit.
During it or before it?
I think it was like, it was during it.
Yeah, that might be it.
That was like... The first season was great.
It was amazing.
First season of
One of the best single seasons of any show I've
and
ever
it was,
seen.
And it was difficult to not want to... I mean, I wanted to watch the second season. Because I like these characters.
Yeah.
They were cool, and they each had their own, you know, distinct personality and agenda and everything. And I was like, yeah, what are they going to do next? And then Mike's like, don't do it, man.
Oh, I was the one to warn you off?
Yeah.
It was, but you must have heard from other people, too.
I probably did. But I trusted your judgment on that.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
It never... the last season wasn't terrible. Oh, no, the second... they did the thing with the prison camp. At one point, I don't know, there were like four seasons, and they were all bad except the first one.
That's too bad. And I like some of the concepts, you know, I like the whole, like, jumping to the future and then back, and...
They were doing stuff with X-Men
weird
plot lines that X-Men the movies weren't doing well.
Yeah.
Although, have you seen the new trailer for the new X-Men movie?
No.
They're doing Days of Future Past.
Yeah. So like, are they doing it well? That's going to be the question.
I'll put it this way. They're managing to put every cast member of every X-Men movie, including X-Men First Class, into one movie.
Ah, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Bishop's in it.
I would assume so.
But but the plot line doesn't add up. It's like they're not in the distant future. They're like going from the current
past. Well, he comes back.
No, but he comes back. So the Days of Future Past was distant future
to
now.
Oh, my God. No. I'm not going to do this, Mon. I'm not going to do this.
Did you say Mon? I'm not going to do this, Mon.
I'm not going to do this, Mon. No, I'm not going to have
a discussion,
an
about
in-depth discussion story about plot lines. Yeah, X-Men plot lines, especially involving time travel. I'm not.
Why? The whole Age of Apocalypse, you know, when...
Oh, no, you're just doing that on purpose now. No, if you follow... damn you! Because you can't get into that without, like, getting into the DC stuff. The freaking 52 and all the stupid...
Infinity Crisis?
Infinity Crisis, and yeah.
Yeah. Crisis Across Infinite Earths. They kept rewording the same words.
Yes!
Yeah.
Infinite and Crisis and Crinfinous and...
and Chrysiphonous. Chrysanthemum.
No.
No. We'll avoid the X-Men plot lines, but...
My head is spinning right now from just remembering all these stupid things.
Yeah.
And I haven't even read most of these. Most of the time, I just read the Wikipedia entries on them.
Yeah, like you did with the Hunger Games, you chooch.
So? I don't want to go watch the Hunger Games.
No,
I'm
but the
curious,
books were good.
But I enough. Don't care. Sometimes I'm just curious enough to want to find out what the story is.
I think that's most of the time with you, though.
Well, no, not all the time.
You're the Cliff Notes intellectualahensia.
No, I'm just. There's nothing intelligentsia about this or intelligentsia.
Which
one is that?
Gesticulating to himself, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You're Italian. This is contagious.
I know it is. Everyone wants to be Italian.
But man, sometimes aren't you just like curious? Like,
oh yeah.
What happened in that movie or what happened in that book? And I just want to find out. And I don't really care about reading the whole thing or watching the whole thing.
No, I don't. I make it a point not to do that. I'll do that after I've read or seen something. And, like, I want to know all the backstory and stuff. I'll do it then.
You weren't complaining when you read the Puppet Master synopsis on Wikipedia.
That was a funny game.
But that was, that was entertaining.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
And now you're like, I don't really need to watch the movie. I mean,
I was never going to watch
Puppet
Master.
Are you upset that I've spoiled Puppet Master?
No, because I was never going to watch it.
By the way, reading the Puppet Master Wikipedia entry is a lot of fun.
So, yeah, but what about Talking Cat?
Oh, God.
The Village Voice write-up of a Talking Cat?
That review, was the Village Voice review, right?
The Village Voice. It was the AV Club and the Village Voice.
Yeah, go, when you're done listening to this, go look this up.
No, I kind of want to read a little bit of it right now.
You really do? Okay.
Just a couple minutes of it.
It's one of the best movie reviews in... the multiverse.
Universe?
The multiverse.
Whoa!
Yeah,
tying it
back. I'm spreading that out. And it's this movie called A Talking Cat, which a lot of you probably heard about, probably even seen. Even if you've already seen it, it's worth it to check out the review.
Well, do you remember the title? A Talking Cat is the Room of Anthropomorphic Animal Movies featuring Eric Roberts. And the fact that they talk about how crazy Eric Roberts is for the first, like, half of the
article. And he is! Oh, my God. Eric Roberts as the cat, as a talking cat, is simply priceless.
All right.
Are you going to read it?
I think it's one of the better snippets. Roberts is aiming for a level of whimsy that would strain Wes Anderson, let alone a guy who could go toe-to-toe with Gary Busey for sheer visceral creepiness. It's as if the director was instructing Roberts, now Eric... I want you to slur nice fluffy bed like you're at the tail end of a 10-day whiskey and cocaine jag, and you're fantasizing about a place to sleep because you have not slept or sat down or even stopped talking in over a week. That, I suspect, is direction that would resonate with Roberts more than something like, you're an adorable kitty cat. You just love to curl up in your favorite snuggly little resting place.
And Eric Roberts did sound like he was coming off of a bender throughout the whole film.
And he was phoning the lines in from
like,
the phone.
Like, literally sounded like he was doing things over a cell phone. A bad cell phone. Like a freaking Motorola from 1999. You know the kind I'm talking about. StarTax.
Oh, the StarTax.
StarTax.
You pull the antenna out. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like reading the review because it's so goddamn funny. Yeah, everyone should definitely Google a Talking Cat AV Club review. It's amazing. What a great movie.
So anything else weird in your life that you'd like to complain about?
It's not complaining. It's just ranting.
That's ranting is pretty close to complaining.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. But if you do it well. I will rant that I was humbled by a gentleman to bed.
That's raving then, I think.
Raving. So I'm not ranting. Well, I was ranting.
Raving's positive. Raving's positive.
Although stark raving mad.
No.
I think it's got a bad
rave rant. Reviews? Come on. That's true. Positive.
It's like really emphatic.
Yes. It seems to be what you're doing here.
Yes. Well,
Or you would be if I didn't keep interrupting you.
I just take it for granted. That's what's going to happen. So we were in Fallback Comedy Festival 2013.
Yes.
And we had pretty good performance for...
I was happy with it. I think the highlight of it was when I discovered the pen that was left by Nuts and Bolts. They dropped it there.
And they left it on stage.
Found it. And it was from Woodcliffe, and that made for a very interesting scene.
It did. I really enjoyed the scene where I was... all like titillated every time you like kicked my chair or bossed me around.
We were playing chess.
Yeah, it was during a chess match.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, yeah, talking that was about improv does not really transfer.
No. although we did like a at the end of that scene we did like a stage kiss, which wasn't even close.
Oh yeah, we were
miles apart on the kiss.
Yep.
And I thought, this is just cheesy and it's going to look stupid. But apparently we angled it just right.
The audience was...
And the wives are the ones who were the real judges of how well we look when we're kissing on stage.
The wives are our homoerotic meter.
Yeah.
To see how well we pull it off.
And they seem very happy with how that came across.
Two out of two wives agreed that it was very, very hot.
Yeah. Not hot for us.
Not hot for us. It wasn't really anything for us.
No.
No.
It was a way to end the scene.
It was a way to end the scene, and that's where it was headed.
That's always going to be the excuse you can use now. Like, why did you sleep with that woman? I was just looking for a way to end the scene.
Baby. I'm sorry. But yeah, Gentlemen to Bed did such a... So in this festival...
They're from Syracuse.
They're from Syracuse. They were talking head improv. There was very little characterization. There was very little physical stuff. Like I could nitpick them on a technical level, but it wouldn't matter because they were so funny and they worked so well together.
Yeah. It was very, very clever. Like just nonstop banter.
It was 100% improv efficiency. No, like, random misspeaking was let go. No, like, reference wasn't brought in. Like, they were so in each other's headspace.
Yes. And the audience was going crazy with them.
Oh, yeah.
Them too. So it's not just, like, the opinion of the two guys sitting here. Everybody who was there watching it was very impressed with them.
Yeah. The host even was like, I think you're really going to like them. I shouldn't say that about us. She didn't know us. But, you know.
Yeah, it was just two of them. I guess they were a three-person group.
Yeah, and I was wondering.
And one of them was missing.
The wife and I were talking because it was like, well, the other guy isn't. He's only been with them a short time. So we were wondering, like, wonder what he brings or if the dynamic's different when he's there. Because they have been together a lot longer as a two-man troupe or something. But I enjoyed Handle Job too.
Yeah,
they were madcap. They reminded me of like the old days when I was younger and it was just like
and they were energy. Younger.
They were younger.
It was a younger group,
but they just had that raw energy of like eight people on stage and they were just tagging each other out. But it was well timed.
Yeah, and the one dude who was just basically picking everyone else up, the big guy who was just
no, that was Flower City.
That wasn't them.
No, yeah, that was Flower
I think
City.
That was
nope. You're wrong.
I don't think so.
You're talking about the guy who everyone died on stage and he was rearranging them?
No.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
He was like picking up some of the girls and carrying them around.
There might have been one guy. I don't know. I think that was Flower City too. Yeah. They had that one guy who just kept...
No, they did the scene when they were... The two of them were in the office and they like kept talking about what the guy was going to do when he came back in.
That was Flower City Improv.
That was Flower City... No, that wasn't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yep. It had the director guy, the little guy, who was directing them into that scene. You're wrong. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm wrong.
You're wrong. I will fetch proof later.
All right.
It'll be in the pudding.
Well, I enjoyed them as well.
I enjoyed... That was a really fun night, actually. Sorry we couldn't stay for the jam. I haven't done an improv jam like a late night.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, when you get old.
I know, but I actually almost felt like doing it, despite that.
I didn't.
Really? You're bringing me down, man.
I know. I'm just dragging.
You're an albatross and stone cement heavy shoes.
Yeah, but you know, when you Christmas get up at like shoes. 6 in the morning and go to work and... And you got the show that starts. Man, I don't want to... This is down. I don't want to be talking down stuff.
No more down.
I had a good time. That was a good night.
I had a very good time. That was a good night. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No more down.
No more down.
Are we going to have to make out now to get out of this podcast?
No.
You want to go spot me while I do some squat press?
Can I hold the bow staff?
Yeah. No, you can hold my quarter staff. And if you're lucky, you might end up holding a half staff. Scene?
Scene.